Okay, so like, imagine this, you're like running this bakery, right? And like everything's going great. You've got people lined up for like your sourdough bread. It's like the best thing since sliced bread. But then like out of nowhere, the price of flour like doubles. Like suddenly your sourdough, it's not like printing money anymore.
And that's like where understanding COGS, cost of goods sold, like that's where it gets real for like a business owner.
Yeah, this whole deep dive thing we're doing, it also started with this article from XOA Tax. And it's funny because like they totally get it. They get why COGS is so important, especially if you're running a business, which like, hey, you might be someday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The best part about COGS is like it's directly tied to like making money or not. You know, if your COGS is crazy high, your profits are going to be like non-existent, even if you're selling tons of stuff. Like our bakery with the expensive flour problem.
Yeah, XOA tax explains it really well. It's basically like the direct cost of like making the stuff you sell. So like for our bakery friends, it's all the good stuff, the flour, the sugar, butter.
Precisely. And this is where it gets interesting. So COGS helps you figure out your gross profit,
Right?
which is like the lifeblood of your business. It's
Yeah.
what you have left after you pay for like the actual stuff you sell.
Yeah, and then you got to use that gross profit to like pay for everything else, right? Like rent, marketing, your staff. So if those ingredients go through the roof.
Totally. You're going to have way less money to cover everything else. It's like a domino effect, and COGS helps you understand like which domino is going to fall.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, XOA Tax also talks about this whole COGS versus cost of sales COS thing. It seems like they could be the same thing, but they're not.
They're definitely different. Think of it this way. COGS is like the foundation and COS is like the whole building.
Okay.
COGS is all about the cost of like actually making the thing, while COS is like everything it takes to sell it and get it to the customer.
So, like sticking with our bakery, the delivery driver's salary and the gas for the van, that all falls under COS.
You got it. It's about the whole journey of that sourdough loaf from the oven to the person eating it.
Okay, so we got the ingredients, that's COGS, and then we got the delivery, that's COS. But how do you actually calculate COGS without like needing an accounting degree?
So XOA tax has this pretty simple formula. You start with your beginning inventory, add the cost of any new inventory you got during like a certain time period, and then you subtract your ending inventory. It's like a before and after snapshot of what your inventory cost.
Okay, that sounds pretty straightforward. But I feel like it gets kind of tricky when you have to figure out how much your inventory is actually worth, right?
You're totally right. XOA text talks about all these different inventory valuation methods like FIFO and LIFO.
QFO-LIFO, it's like alphabet soup over here. But seriously, what's the difference and why should we even care?
Okay, so FIFO stands for first in, first out. Basically, it means you're assuming that you're selling the oldest stuff in your inventory first.
So, like, if the price of flour has gone up since we last bought some, wouldn't that mean the bakery's COGS would be lower with FIFO?
You're basically saying that sourdough loaf cost you way less because you're using the price of the older, cheaper flour.
Okay, that makes sense. What about LIFO, last in, first out? Is that just the opposite?
Pretty much. With LIFO, you're saying that you're selling the newest inventory first.
So in our bakery example, you'd be using the price of that crazy expensive flour, even if you still had some of the old cheaper stuff.
Because you're expensing the most recent costs first, which usually means higher costs, your profits might look smaller on paper.
So, like, depending on which method a company chooses, they could make their profits look totally different.
You hit the nail on the head. Different methods can lead to very different financial outcomes, even for companies that do the exact same thing. And that's where things can get kind of complicated.
So, if I'm looking at a company's financials, is there a way to tell which method they're using?
Usually, companies will mention it in the notes to their financial statements. You know, that fine print no one reads. It's there if you look for it.
It's like a game trying to decipher these financial statements. Speaking of clues, are there any red flags we should be looking for when it comes to COGS?
That's a great question. And it brings up some of the limitations of COGS, which XOA tax talks about. One thing is that COGS is helpful, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
So we've got this thing, right? COGS, it's important, but it's not like the be all end all. What are some of the things that XOA tax says we should like keep an eye out for?
So one thing that they really hit on is this whole idea of managing your COGS.
Okay.
It's one thing to like calculate it, but actually getting those costs under control, that's the tricky part. And XOA tax has some good advice on how to do that.
Okay, so let's hear it. What's their like number one tip?
They say it all starts with having a solid relationship with your suppliers.
Okay.
Think about it. the better your relationship, the more likely they are to like cut you a deal.
So like if our bakery owner can get a discount on flour, that's huge for their COGS.
Huge XOA tax talks about like buying in bulk to get discounts or negotiating longer contracts to lock in good prices.
Makes sense. Don't put all your eggs in one basket or like all your flour in one silo.
Exactly. It's always good to like shop around, just like we compare prices at different grocery stores, right? Businesses should do the same thing with their suppliers.
XOA tax also mentions something called enhancing production efficiency, which sounds kind of complicated.
It's really not. It just means like doing more with less,
Okay.
basically becoming more efficient.
Okay.
That could mean investing in new equipment that's faster or like reorganizing your workspace so things run smoother.
So maybe our bakery owner could get a fancy new oven that uses less energy or like rethink how they're doing things to cut out unnecessary steps.
Exactly. All those little improvements can save a lot of money in the long run, which makes a big difference when you're looking at COGS.
They also talk about training your employees, which seems kind of random. How does that fit into COGS?
It's all about having a good team. Well-trained baker is going to be able to spot a problem right away, like if the dough is too dry or the oven's acting up.
Right.
Catching those things early can save you a lot of wasted ingredients, and that goes straight to your COGS.
You want your employees to be like COGS ninjas.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
When everyone understands how their work impacts the bottom line, they're going to be more careful and try to find ways to save money.
Okay, now another thing XOA Tax talks about is inventory management, which seems like one of those things that's easy to forget about when you're busy running a business.
It's huge, though.
Yeah.
If you have too much inventory, you're just like sitting on a pile of money that could be used for something else. Plus, ingredients can go bad.
Yeah.
But if you don't have enough inventory, you might have to stop production altogether. So it's a balancing act.
It's like walking a tightrope.
Exactly. XOA Tax talks about these things called just-in-time inventory systems.
Okay.
It's about having just enough inventory to meet demand, but not so much that it goes to waste.
That sounds great in theory, but probably really hard to actually do.
It takes some planning, for sure, but there's software now that can track your sales and predict what you're going to need in the future.
So it's like having a crystal ball for your inventory. I like it. So besides that, what other tips does XOA Tax have up their sleeve?
They're big on quality control.
Okay.
Think about it. Every time you have a defect or a mistake in your production process, that's money down the drain. Wasted materials, wasted time.
Right.
By having really good quality control, you can catch those problems early on and save yourself a lot of hassle.
So for our bakery friends, that could mean like checking the oven all the time to make sure it's working right or having really clear instructions for measuring ingredients.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
all about doing things right the first time. And the last thing XOA Tax talks about is reducing waste in general.
Which seems like good advice for like every aspect of life, not just business.
Totally. Waste can come from anywhere, using too much of something, not being efficient with energy.
Yeah.
By looking at your whole operation and figuring out where you can improve, you can find hidden costs and save money.
It's like giving your business a good spring cleaning.
Exactly. Now, one thing that struck me is that XOA tax seems to be talking mostly about businesses that sell like physical products.
Yeah.
Do you think the same ideas apply to businesses that sell services?
That's a good question. Because like a service isn't something tangible that you can like hold in your hand.
Right, but I think the underlying principles still apply. It's just about adapting them to a different kind of business model.
So how does COGS translate to a service-based business?
Instead of looking at the cost of like raw materials, you're looking at the cost of delivering those services.
Okay, so let's say you have a consulting company. Their cost of goods sold would be like their consultant salaries, their office space, any software they used.
Exactly, things like that. It's all the direct costs associated with providing that service.
So whether you're selling sourdough bread or giving financial advice, the principles of COGS still matter.
Absolutely. It's a universal concept. It's about understanding where your money is going and how to make the most of it.
We've covered a lot of ground here about like how to calculate COGS,
Yeah.
how to manage it. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to the why. Why should people even care about this stuff,
Yeah.
even if they're never going to be accountants? So we've like really dug into like all of the details of Cod GS,
Yeah.
but I think it's time to step back and answer the big question. Like,
Right.
why should anyone even care about this stuff?
That's the thing, isn't it? We don't want to get so caught up in the numbers that we lose sight of like the bigger picture.
Right.
Understanding CodeJS, even if you don't know all the ins and outs, it can really help you understand how businesses work.
It's like having this secret code to decipher like the business world.
I like that. It's like you put on these CodeJS glasses and suddenly you can see everything clearly.
Exactly. So let's say I'm thinking about investing in a company, right?
Yeah.
How does understanding CodeJS help me make a smart investment?
Okay, so if you see a company and their CodeJS is really high compared to how much money they're bringing in,
Yeah.
that could be a red flag. It might mean that they're not very efficient or that they haven't figured out how to control their costs.
Okay, so that's not a good sign.
It's not necessarily a deal breaker,
Yeah.
but it's definitely something to look into. You want to see if there's like a good explanation for it.
So you always got to look at the bigger picture.
Exactly. Look at other things like what industry they're in, how fast they're growing.
Okay, what about the opposite then? If a company has a CodeGS that's like steadily going down, that's a good sign, right?
Most of the time, yeah. It probably means they're getting better at what they do, becoming more efficient. And that usually means higher profits in the long run.
So it all comes back to efficiency.
Exactly. And that's what makes CodeJS so important. It shows you how well a company is using its resources to make money.
Now, XOA tax also mentions that CodeGS can be manipulated.
Right.
So does that mean it's not a reliable metric?
It's true that there's some wiggle room with CodeJS, like we talked about with those inventory valuation methods.
Yeah.
But even with that in mind, CodeJS can still tell you a lot, especially when you look at it along with other financial numbers.
It's not like the only thing you should look at.
Exactly. It's like one piece of the puzzle. You
Yeah.
need all the pieces to see the full picture.
It's like they say, numbers don't lie, but liars can use numbers.
Right. You got to know what you're looking for.
Exactly. So you really need to be careful when you're looking at financial statements. Don't just believe everything at face value. Do your research, ask questions, and try to understand what those numbers are really telling you.
That's what XOA tax is all about, encouraging people to think critically.
And their main takeaway is that understanding CodeGS and like managing it well is super important for a business to succeed over the long term.
Absolutely. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in business for years, understanding CodeJS can help you make better decisions about your pricing, your production, and ultimately how profitable you are.
It's all about making those financial statements less intimidating and helping people feel confident about running their businesses.
Exactly. Knowledge is power.
I like that. Well, I think we've officially cracked the code on CodeGS.
We did it.
We covered everything from like the nitty-gritty calculations to the big picture.
And hopefully now our listeners can not only spot CodeJS on a financial statement,
Yeah?
but actually understand what it means and how it impacts their own businesses or investments.
So as always, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and maybe even like dust off those financial statements and take a look for yourself.
Yeah.
See you next time.